Since we are all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus, we can bring anything to God in our prayers. And we know that he will answer our prayers and even know the thoughts that we wing to him in prayer. And this includes all those prayers that begin with the word, why? Here's the psalmist Asaph. Here's his prayer to God. Oh God, why have you cast us off forever? Why does your anger smoke against the sheep of your pasture? The godly man Job uttered the word why in many of his prayers to God. He was in such pain and misery that he cried out, why did I not die at birth? Why did I not perish when I came from the womb? And again, Job said, why do you not pardon my transgression and take away my iniquity? You see, the problem is that we know that God is almighty, and we are told that he loves us, and still things don't happen the way we think they ought to happen. So we pray to him, we complain to him, why? Why can't I get good marks on my papers when I spend so much time studying? Why is it that I try to make friends with this person here and there's no good response? Why can't I get along with my parents even though I try so hard? Why are other people so much better than everything that I am? You know, if God controls everything, he ought to prevent any of these bad things from happening to me. Why am I so lonely? And maybe teachers feel that way too sometimes. Why do I pray for patience and then I always lose my temper? Why is it that I work so hard to try to get good results and the results are just not there? Now, the prophet Jeremiah had some why questions for God, too. In chapter 12, we read these words, why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? He had been preaching the word of God faithfully as a prophet of the Lord. But what did he get for it? His own townsfolk plotted to kill him. Those who listened to him were in a minority in comparison with the many who were against him. And all those prophets who opposed him argued that they were succeeding and he was failing, and therefore God must be on their side, because doesn't God bless the righteous and punish the wicked? So they taunted Jeremiah, you must be the false teacher because you don't get any good results. God must be blessing us, not you. Now, Jeremiah knew that God is righteous. God does not sin. And so he says in his prayer, righteous are you, O Lord, when I plead with you. Of course, God is righteous. He doesn't do anything wrong. Why then does he seem to reward the wicked and punish those who walk in his ways? So he says to the Lord, let me talk with you about your judgments. I'd like to discuss these things with you. Why is it that things work out as they do? Why does the way of the wicked prosper? Why are those happy who deal so treacherously? There's a contradiction here, Lord. You say you bless the righteous and punish the wicked, but I've experienced just the opposite. You have planted them. Yes, they have taken root. They grow. Yes, they bear fruit. They don't teach the word of God as I do, and yet you're blessing them. They are succeeding, and I'm failing. Why is that? Why? Now, Jeremiah recognized that the pious talk of his rivals was nothing but talk. Their actions revealed what was really on their minds. He says, "You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind." They go to the temple, they make long prayers, they act real pious. Their mouths say the right words, praise to you. They seem to glorify your name. They make a big show. You are near in their mouth, but far from their mind. Their actions prove that their words are nothing but hypocrisy, saying one thing, but thinking something else and doing something else as well. So these are all things that are on Jeremiah's mind. Big question, why? So he brings his complaints and his thoughts and his ideas to the Lord, the true God, the L-O-R-D God, the J-H-V-H God, the faithful God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God who created the world, the God who gave promises to his people and keeps his promises always, and the God who promised the Savior of the world to come from this people. Jeremiah says, "You, O Lord, know me, you have seen me, and you have tested my heart toward you. You know that I am a believer. You know that I trust in your promise. You know that I love you as my faithful God. So why?" And now, the strange part is that when God does send his Son into the world, Jesus, our Savior, he asks the same question. Why? We know his cry from the cross. Why? My God, why have you forsaken me? Very similar to Asaph's question, why have you cast us off forever? Similar to Job's question, why do you not pardon my transgression, take away my iniquity? Similar to Jeremiah's question, why does the way of the wicked prosper? Jesus could say from the cross, here's Caiaphas, the Pharisees, the scribes, the priests. They're all rejoicing right now. They're standing here by the cross. They're rejoicing while I am in agony. Why are you forsaking me instead of them? So we learn from all of this that God's ways are not our ways. God punishes his Son and lets the sinners go free. He punishes his Son and pardons the wicked. And finally, this, if we consider it carefully, Jesus, why, is the answer to all our questions. As to why? Because his why proves God's love to us that can never be changed, because there on the cross he was taking all of our punishment, and he rose from the dead in glorious victory, and he gives this victory to us. So we just have to be patient. Why? Well, we'll know. We will know as we are known. And at the proper time, we shall be glorified, and the rejectors of Jesus will not prosper. We sing hymn number 519 in the Lutheran hymnal, hymn 519, all stanzas.
He loveth his family. will.